Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Allied Digital Service Limited earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on their touch-tone phone. To remove yourself from the queue, please enter star and two. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mayank Vaswani from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Yashasvi. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Allied Digital Service Limited's earnings call for Q1 of financial year 2023-24. We have with us on the call today Mr. Nitin Shah, founder and CMD, Mr. Nehal Shah, Executive Director, Mr. Paresh Shah, Global CEO, and Mr. Gopal Tiwari, Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Nitin Shah will begin the call with an overview of the company. Mr. Nehal Shah will then cover the recent evolution, followed by Mr. Paresh Shah, who will cover the operational performance and key developments during the quarter. Mr. Gopal Tiwari will then walk us through the financial highlights, following which we shall open the call for the Q&A session. Before we begin, I would like to point out that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the earnings documents that have been shared with all of you earlier. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Nitin Shah for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mayank. Good morning to everyone. Thank you for taking time to join our earnings call, which is being concluded after a sizable gain. I trust that all of you had a chance to review the earnings documents which were shared earlier, including the investor presentation which was shared yesterday. For those of you not very familiar with the company, let me share a brief background of Allied Digital. Allied Digital is a globally acknowledged managed service provider and master system integrator catering to customers in over 70 countries. Our diverse range of services include workplace management, infrastructure management, cloud enablement, cyber security, integrated solutions to do smart cities, and software services. We specialize in assisting enterprise customers with efficiently managing and integrating their IT systems, ensuring they are perfectly aligned with their unique business requirement. Allied Digital's inception was way back in 1984, and it was led by me and my late brother, Mr. Prakash Shah. It was a modest journey than when we started by providing support on mainframe. Since then, we have undergone what I refer to as the six different phases of our evolution. So it's a six different times the company has taken new path. So this is a sixth path, which is very interesting, which we say disruption driven. It has been seen as a gear up organization with the skills and capability that are future ready, placing us in the position of leverage emerging technologies and cutting edge services and solutions to our clients. Our service capabilities metrics has been richly enhanced. Further, we are driving a holistic transformation program across our business. This will elevate processes, practices and approaches across our entire operations. This transformation will cover areas such as human resources, service governance, customer relationship, corporate governance and overall stakeholder relationship and management. We look forward to improve our rating as an employer of the choice, raise our position as a vendor of choice and seek to be more transparent to our disclosures. The company is aspiring for continued growth and substantial scale. Our teams are seeking larger contracts with marquee customers as we deepen the service offerings. With this view, this brief overview, I would like to now hand over the call to our Mr. Nehal Shah, who will give a brief about the evolution.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I will now talk about the services we offer, or as we like to call it as our service capability matrix. which includes a wide range of services which are thoughtfully combined to cater to our customers' diverse needs. Drawing upon the expertise and capabilities of our specialized teams in cloud enablement, cybersecurity, infrastructure management, integrated solutions, office services, and workplace management services, we ensure that each project receives the required skill set for successful execution. We understand that each customer's requirements are unique and demand tailored solutions. Hence, we carefully integrate the appropriate building blocks from a service capability matrix to create personalized and effective service offerings. By doing so, we guarantee that our customers receive the best possible solutions that align with their specific goals and objectives. Our commitment to excellence drives us to continuously refine and adapt our services to deliver unmatched results for every client we serve. Starting from this financial year, we have restructured our offerings into two distinct categories, services and solutions. Under the services bucket, we focus on providing continuous long-term support to our clients. These services are of annuity or recurring in nature, with clients engaging in ongoing contracts to receive consistent and reliable assistance. On the other hand, under the solutions bucket, we deliver one-time implementation projects tailored to address specific needs or challenges faced by our clients. These projects could include transformation initiatives, upgradation projects, or setting up infrastructure at new locations. We derive 75% of our revenues from global customers through our rest of the world operations, which are dominated by our presence in the North American market through our subsidiary Allied Digital Services LLC. Around 25% of our revenues are from India, where we serve enterprise customers as well as government customers. Now I would like to hand over to our global CEO, Mr. Paresh Shah, to share key insights about the operations, performance and key developments during the quarter.
Thank you, Nehal. A very good morning to everyone. I'll now take you through the operation performance and key developments during the quarter. During this period under review, we are pleased to announce that we have successfully booked new orders worth 100 plus crores for our services, which entail 3 years of contract revenues. This achievement highlights the trust and confidence our customers place in us, just solidifying our position as a reliable and preferred partner for their ongoing services and solution needs. Let me list you a few of the key wins this quarter. One large insurance company in India has taken our services contract for basically 3 data center and network services perspective. The second, a well-known US-based real estate company in New York City is taking our support of enterprise services. The third, a very large agriculture product company with retail outlets all across South India. We are going to manage their end user devices as well as their enterprise services. A large central US airport is going to be managed by us as a critical infrastructure. I also want to share with you some exciting news that 7 top retail brands in the USA have signed up for using Aditas for their IT service operations. Additionally, I'm very excited that our pipeline is very strong. It has a positive momentum, which we are experiencing with the robust growth. The increasing number of potential opportunities only indicates a growing interest in our offerings and demonstrates the value we bring to our customers. We very much are remaining optimistic about our ability to capitalize this positive traction and further enhance our market presence. As we move forward, we are committed to upholding our commitment to service excellence and customer satisfaction, delivering high quality services that exceed expectations. Our dedicated teams and comprehensive solutions continue to drive success for our customers as we look forward to even greater achievements in the future. Now, I would like to hand over to our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Gopal Tiwari, to cover the financial highlights for this quarter.
Thank you, Paresh Bhai. I'll now quickly cover the financial highlights for the quarter under review. We delivered a consolidated revenue of Rs. 169 crore in Q1 FY24 as compared to Rs. 153 crore in Q1 FY23, showcasing a growth of 11%. EBITDA for the quarter grew by 28% on YOI basis at Rs. 18 crore in Q1 FY24 as compared to Rs. 14 crore in Q1 FY23. EBITDA margins stood at 11% as compared to 9% in the corresponding quarter last year. PAT for the quarter stood at Rs. 9 crore in Q1 FY24 as compared to Rs. 7 crore in the corresponding period last year, higher by 20%. Now coming to some perspectives to share regarding our performance for the quarter. First is on revenue growth. We have seen the India business grow by 70% on YOY basis. However, global business, which accounts for more than 75% of revenue, was soft this quarter. We anticipate activity level to resume in Q2 and expect further contract wins and a ramp up in delivery in the coming months. There has also been a factor of revenue mix at play, where we have seen billing for smart city projects rising, and this contained a high proportion of implementation revenues. As implementation largely comprises material supply, the margin has remained stable compared to Q4 FY23, but has improved from 9% to 11% on YOY basis. We are confident that revenue mix will improve further through the rest of the year, leading to an improved margin profile. Allied Digital maintains a strong and healthy balance sheet position. We are a debt-free entity on a net debt basis, reflecting our prudent financial management and stability. Moreover, we have carefully managed our capital expenditure, resulting in no major capex spend during this period. Additionally, we hold a cash and cash equivalent position of more than rupees 66 crore, which provides us with the necessary liquidity and flexibility to meet our operational and strategic requirements. With these solid financial positions, foundations, we are well equipped to seize opportunities, invest in growth initiatives, and deliver sustainable value to our stakeholders. Now, I would like to hand over to our chairman, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Nitin Shah, to share his views on our outlook and strategic initiatives underway.
Thank you. Thank you, Gopal. You have heard from my colleagues about the exciting development of Allied Digital. Moving forward, we recognize the tremendous potential that arises as digitalization continues to permeate every aspect of business and on everyday's life. We have strategically chosen to focus on smart cities, cloud migration, cyber security services, fortified by our NOC and SOC capabilities from offshore and onshore, and on location or near shore location, as well as expanded multiple language support. These areas are poised for significant growth, presenting us with abundant opportunities. Additionally, we anticipate substantial prospects in the manufacturing solutions domain with Industry 4.0 taking center stage. This phase marks a critical turning point for our organization and anticipate a robust and profitable growth trajectory from here on. We extend our gratitude to all our stakeholders who had played a vital role in empowering us to reach this point, and we remain committed to create values for all our stakeholders. We now open the floor to our questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Gaurav Agrawal from 91 Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. And first of all, congratulations for starting doing this call. We have also started circulating our presentations to update us on the business. So thank you so much for sharing these details. Coming back to your quarterly performance and long-term outlook on the company. So first of all, sir, Q1 this particular quarter, it has seen very high increase in the employee cost. Like the rate has gone from 26-27 CR to now 35 CR. So if you can elaborate what explains this rise in employee cost, and is it like you are doing some kind of capex, not capex, like upfront cost recognition, fruits of which you intend to have in future quarters? And if yes, what kind of future revenue you see, you know, on a quarterly basis or on yearly basis?
So, Gaurav, I'll answer that question. I'm Gopal Tiwari. So, coming to your first part of the questions about increase in manpower cost this quarter, that increase is mainly on a couple of counts. First of all, this being the first quarter of the year, generally our revisions happens across the board. So a considerable portion of this increase is towards revision of the employee overall, employee cost. Apart from that, there was second reason that during the quarter we had informed earlier also that we have missed out certain opportunities in US market. Couple of big accounts which were supposed to be in our kitty, we didn't get that, and renewals, a couple of renewals also didn't happen. But however, having said that, we had a pool of talents ready for those projects which we had to continue. We had to continue with them, and we had to make them sit on bench for their deployment in future. Since we are having a good pipeline of good contracts supposed to be in our kitty, so we kept them on bench for to be utilized in those projects. So that could be the couple of major issues. Because of that, you can see that employee cost is increased from last quarter to this quarter.
My question was on the sustainable revenue run rate and also the follow up on the employee cost. So this quarter has been 35 CR. So first of all, this 35 is a recurring run rate, or it will come down from Q2 onwards? Any idea on that? And then on the revenue trajectory.
Paresh bhai should answer, comment on that.
Yeah. So let me just answer this. So this 35 CR that we talked about is almost a recurring, but it will be still less because this was one increase as Gopal mentioned. Okay. Mm-hmm. We may even have dip on that. Okay. The reason is we will be make sure that we will be utilizing them in some projects, or we may be also looking at letting them go if there is no other opportunity on that. So I see that as a kind of a peak. I don't think it would be more than that.
Okay. And so on the revenue run rate, any guidance for FY 24, 25, what sort of quarterly run rate do you see for Allied Digital?
Now let me answer that. Usually what we see, we really track it on our yearly basis because our run rate is so basically, as you see, we already got new orders of 100 plus crores this quarter. We are doing very well. And if you compare it with the last year quarters, we are doing pretty good. So we have a very robust pipeline, and I see there's no issue to basically see how the revenues are not growing. So definitely we see extremely positive, trend going on.
And in the past, we have been growing at the rate of 26%, more than 26% on year-on-year basis. CAGR in last 4-5 years is 26%. So that is year-on-year basis we have been achieving or performing.
So, sir, any number that you want to share with us for FY24 on the revenue growth and on the EBITDA margins?
So, this is real year. Generally, we do not intend to give numbers out. What we say is that we go through our past performance, and we are in the same light. We feel that we will be able to do that. At the size of our company, if you see with the turnover and the top line, the large deals that are there in the pipeline, if some of them get clicked, the whole revenue recognition will change at a complete uptrend. And we see that, we saw that happening in the last 1 or 2 years also. And in future also, with the pipeline that we have, we feel that that should also grow at a steady speed.
Okay. Sure, sir. And I wish you all the best for these large deals. And I hope that you continue to do these quarterly con calls so that we investors, can get update directly from you. So all the best for these deals, and hope to speak to you in the next quarter.
Thank you.
We have a next question from the line of Jyoti Singh from Arihant Capital Markets. Please go ahead. Jyoti Singh from Arihant Capital Market.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. So, sir, as earlier participants asked for the margin guidance and revenue guidance, so my question is on the similar side, but if you can give us some light, like when we are expecting it will be better number and better growth going forward.
Yeah, so let me just address this. As you see, markets are much better this quarter also, and we have very good pipeline. We see some very large deals also, as Nehal already mentioned. So I see a very, very positive trend, and we want to make sure that year on year as we grow 20 to 25%, this trend should continue and maybe even exceed expectations.
Okay, thank you, sir. And sir, on the smart city side, we are doing it only on the domestic basis or we are also doing on the international basis?
Yeah, that's a very good question. While we were doing you know, a lot of domestic business on smart cities, we have also opened up to business out of across the globe, and we are making a huge positive trend in the US markets also, okay, where we are taking up large opportunities as a master system integrator. So that's another big funnel that we are creating, and I'm very excited to tell you that, you know, that's also going to be a big growth factor for us.
Okay, great. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and one to ask a question. We have our next question from the line of Narendra from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Mr. Narendra?
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the call. And just a few questions. One is regarding your order book. If you could share the outstanding order book and the timeline for its execution, that would be helpful.
I think there are two types of order booked. One, which we already booked the order. So beginning of the years, as you know that we have almost about 1700 of IRR that we have booked already to be executed in next 3 to 4 years. And what we are doing, we keep working on getting new clientele, and most of this new clientele that we get, be it in smart city or infrastructure management or cloud migration, these are all generally 3 years kind of a, you know, average kind of a contract. So whatever we will keep getting, it will not only increase our current revenue, but also increase our, you know, long-term earning also for next 3 years. So I think that is a good model that we have created, because everything what we do, you talk about other than software services, everything is culminating into annuity business. For example, cloud, when we do consulting and migration, it gets culminated into managed services for next 3 to 5 years. Then we talk about cyber security, just doing the posture, understanding the current posture and giving them the upgradations on their cyber security. We implement those technology and again manage 24/7 hours for next 3 to 5 years. So that's again annuity business. The smart city, of course, is 5 years. Every project that we execute, we'll end up into supporting them under operations and maintenance for next 5 years. Then we talk about workplace management, which we have been doing pretty well across the globe. These are all, most of them are 5 years plus kind of a contract. So what we need is a breakthrough into a new large clients, and then that will make our pipeline very healthy.
So would it be safe to say that, yeah, sorry, sir, you were saying something?
I hope that you have understood my, or anyway, you can ask any other question in the same.
No, I was saying that, is it safe to say that once you get a solutions client, somewhat converts into a services client in the future. Would that be right?
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah. I mean, you understood quite good. So, we have two types of things. One is, as Nehal mentioned, we do service contracts, which are definitely 3 to 4 years, 5 years contracts. The other aspect is when we do solutions, that, as Mr. Nitin Shah mentioned, that gets converted into service contracts also. So, we have a very strong book order line for next 3 years, and that only makes us kind of augment that. All these new businesses just augmenting our existing pipeline, existing order line. Okay, so what you see is add-on revenues. Okay, coming on the top of our already big booked orders of close to 1700 crores right now. We already have, so next 3 years it is already a committed business. So we are just talking about new business, augmented business on top of these.
Okay.
I would put it this way, that every solution that we deploy, it is always 100% culminated into multi-year contract.
Okay, got it.
Thank you.
And are we doing anything to expand our margins, or are we happy with the current yearly levels of margins?
So what happens when we onboard the client? Generally, all that is happening at a time when we get the business under competition, we have to charge them as a winning proposition, a good kind of proposal or price point. But subsequently, we constantly our endeavor is to optimize our cost. So when we start looking into the costing, we believe at least 4 to 5% minimum that we can increase the margin by optimizing the cost for the next 5 years.
Also, I would like to add that, you know, we have close eye on how to improve the margins. As you know, we have a Aditas platform, which is our own intellectual property. We have also another one, Finolite. So we are, as I mentioned in my operations report, 7 big US brands have also taken Aditas platform, signed up. So that's a very kind of big margin platform, because it sells complete licenses for long term. And that is gaining big traction. And we, when we bundle that with our services, it only will enhance our margins. Okay. So that's a kind of a big differentiator we bring.
So that's a big lever for us to increase and enhance our margins. At our own IP, Aditas, which is ITSM platform, and Convergence in Banking, that is the Finolite, which are our own IP, and definitely that will also boost over a period of time in future our margins.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. We hope to see you again next few quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have a next question from the line of Rajesh Agarwal from Money Ore. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, Mr. Agarwal.
Hello?
Mr. Agarwal, we can hear you. Please go ahead with your question.
Sir, how is the working capital behaved this quarter? What were the number of days for the working capital?
See, the working capital days, basically, we have improved quite a lot on that. It is now hovering around 95, 96 days, the working capital cycle we have achieved now.
This quarter also it was 95 days?
Yeah, yeah.
And going forward also it will be 95 days?
It will be around, it will be lower than that. It will be, as per the industry norms, it will be around 90 days will be.
Generally what happens, just to add to what Gopal is saying, generally the government clients and the other clients that we have a cycle of billing them quarterly. So that's the reason that we have to have that kind of investment that we need to do. But most of the time, whenever the billing is done, we get our payment. But because of the investment for the first quarter or the quarterly payment that we get, that is the kind of timeline that we are looking at.
Yeah. I mean, apart from the government contract, what is the normal working capital cycle? If we exclude the...
See, in private enterprise also, generally it is quarterly basis only. It's 90 days, mostly 90 days. Sometimes it is monthly also, but mostly it is 90 days basis in private enterprise business also.
And sir, did you mention that you have an order book of 1700 crore or something like that? No.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so we have already booked totally exactly 1700 crore.
Okay.
To be executed in next 2 to 4 years.
Okay. So over next 1 or 2 years?
3 to 4 years.
3 to 4 years, okay. And any amount on the bidding pipeline? How much are the orders are in the pipeline?
We have very healthy pipeline, and Paresh bhai, you can talk about very large, extra large deals.
Yeah, there are a couple of very large deals. I mean, if I look at that, the pipeline is very healthy and it can easily, you know, go into millions. But I am not going to basically give you the exact, because we have a very strong pipeline is what I can right now commit. And we may kind of even overshoot. But today, as we look at this, we are sitting on a pretty strong, healthy pipeline. And it's just a matter of time that we can convert into very large deals.
Any timeline when we do hope to close the deals?
Rajesh, just on the order book, what I would want to also add to this is that while the order book is there for 700 crores that we have already booked and we are going to be billing it for the next three years, the thing is that there are a lot of customers that are still ongoing with us, and there are renewals also happening time and again, and there is additional business that we get, or what we call in our parlor as farming of additional business in the existing customer account. So all of that is not accounted for in this number. So absolutely, in terms of the top line, the increase is going to be very good. So I wouldn't want to just say or give a message to everyone stating that 1700 crore is the only order book that we are looking at. There are certain other things that are also being added to it on quarter on quarter basis.
And
second, adding. Yeah, go ahead.
May you tell me first.
And second, from the order execution perspective, we feel that most of these orders that we book are generally booked for a period of 3 to 5 years, which are renewable for another 3 to 5 years. That's how the cycle works in our industry. So when a customer is taken up into the margins in the first 4 or 6 quarters is typically less, because we are investing a lot of our energy and money and time into knowing the customer, having the service delivery put into account. But as time goes on, we keep on improvising on our costings and on our margin, and that's how we keep on increasing.
And so, this quarter, how much employee cost increase was due to the normal increment and or the bench strength? Can you quantify that? No?
So generally, we typically try to keep 10% of our employees on bench for future projects and training and upskilling. That's the kind of the bench strength that we would be having. And I think about the overall amount, Gopal would be the right person, but what I have understood is that about 50% of that has gone in the bench and 50% is gone for the increment that we have done for
revision.
For the
yearly revision
employees.
And how much average increment we have given?
The average increment is about 7 to 8% that we do across the board.
So
we have much. Sorry, I would like to add you here. We have much lesser attrition compared to industry standard, and especially when it comes to, we have two types of set of people. One is core team, other one is non-core team. So core team, hardly any attrition that has taken place, almost like 0%.
Okay. And sir, then the employee cost will be quarterly. This will be the run rate for the employee quarter run rate.
So employee cost, as soon as this people become the people that become on bench, they become billable to us. The cost will be moved to the other head under direct cost, and that is how we will be able to manage.
That will be compensated against the corresponding billing, washing billing. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have our next question from the line of Nikhil Oswal from Finterest Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity and also congratulations on starting this quarterly con call. It's really helpful for the investors to understand the business. So my first question is that we have seen a 100% growth in solution business in this quarter when I see the segmental revenue breakup. And, you know, just to understand the marginal breakup between services business and solution business, if you can, you know, help with that.
Yeah, thank you for the question. I would want to answer that. Typically, yes, you are right that this quarter we have seen a jump in the solution business. The reason for that is that last year we had won a couple of projects in the smart city, under the smart city. That could be Punjab. 5 cities we won, 3 cities in Punjab and one in Lucknow and another in Solapur. So what was happening is generally the timeline for deployment of these projects are about 8 to 9 months. And most of the billing for CapEx or any solutions that we deploy at the client side happen together. And that's the reason that we are seeing a lot of jump that has happened in the solution business this quarter. typically, from the margin perspective, whenever we are billing for the solutions business, typically margins are little lower than the annuity business, because most of our margins are recovered over the period of 5 years when we do operations and maintenance for these plants.
I hope I have answered your question. So what happens when we are bidding, especially for government, we have a fear we may not be L1. So here you need to have a very compelling solution. Technical score you also have to be higher compared to your peers. And definitely we are concerned about the cost. But then only we can win. So there is always a margin present in terms of acquiring a client. But once we acquire a client, we know how to improve over our margins. So initially for the first year for every solution, because of competition, we might not earn as much as we earn subsequently next 5 years.
Okay. So, you know, just at a blended level, if you can quantify at what levels are we, you know, going to sustain margins going forward, considering the growth that will come. You can give some guidance on numbers.
I will tell you. We are extremely cautious. For us, EBITDA margin is a lever actually. We keep constantly watching that. We are not desperate in terms of getting any and every business where there are no margins. So the customer is not the right one. Okay, we our money may probably get stuck or something. Having said that, we are very carefully growing, cautiously growing. And margin is something, it has to be as per our expectation, otherwise we will leave the business.
Okay. So anywhere around 14-15% we'll be able to sustain, which is ended level that it appears, are we going to outperform that?
Yeah, we are very optimistic and hopeful, but huge amount of effort that we need to put in. But I think our very strong lever is our own IP, that is Editas, and we are going to give this year a lot of boost onto that. And the new emerging technology, it will be extremely high once it is getting adapted in terms of conversation banking. The Finovalide that we have created, we got several awards on that. So these are all margin boosters actually.
Correct. And as you mentioned earlier in the previous question that, you know, you are aiming to grow at 20-25% year after year. So, you know, previous year we clocked around 660 crores of top line. So I think this year we will be able to achieve our 25% growth, because in the Q1 we couldn't really see that kind of jump in the performance. So in the coming few quarters, are we confident of catching up ahead?
I would suggest that rather than looking at our organization from quarter on quarter, we would specifically would want you to look at to us as year on year growth.
Yes, so year on year, if we are able to, sorry. What?
Yeah. So while I understand that generally the typical idea is that if I have done 168 crores top line this year, most people would want to just multiply it by 4 and come up to a number. But however, that is not the case, because as the year progresses quarter on quarter, we get additional business, we keep on billing them, we get additional revenue. So we see that the growth is going to be absolutely there, and we are on the right track, and our strategy and our guidance is also going to be matched.
We being in service industry, especially I have spent 47 years only in service industry, we always believe in talk, under talk and over deliver. And when we guidance also, we give very cautious guidance. So if you would like to know about our guidance, I think 20% looks to me very, very clear. Whatever that we get upside, that you will see at the end of the quarter. At the same time, you know, quarterly result, you can't multiply by 4, because there are certain seasonal business, and especially in enterprise, beginning of the year, the spending is not very high in the first quarter. The last quarter is very high. So we have gone through the quarter, which is not the kind of quarter where the spending is more. So you will see some quarter, maybe next quarter may be bigger. I'm just guessing. And that's how we have been seeing a trend for last 17 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So one last question. I just want to understand, once we complete our order book with one client, post that we have to start the, I think, annual maintenance for them, right? So what is the percentage of that, you know, the total, you know, percentage of revenue, the maintenance that we charge to our clients?
So, when we talk about services business, it is 100%. On the contrary, we get additional money in terms of doing a transition from the old service provider to the new service provider. So, there is a one-time cost that we do in the form of transition. However, that business, which is the services business, is 100% revenue for the next 5 years. And more than that, there might be some change requests which keeps coming. Every year, customer would like to do some changes and spending money. All that will add up onto that. But when it comes to solution, it is in the beginning, we have capex on that many times. We deploy, we first design, architect, deploy, integrate, customize. So there is a phase where we earn money through solution. But the best part is that every solution we do culminates into services business for next 3 to 5 years. So that is again 100%, but it is not the same amount what we did in the beginning at the time of solution deployment.
Correct.
I hope I could make sense to you. Services business is 100% renewal.
Okay.
Just to add to it, what we are trying to say is that in any solution business that we get, typically in the government scenario, 30-35% is something that we have during the capex investment that we do, and about 60-65% is something that keeps on going for the next 5 years. That's how typically, broadly, most of the projects are broken up.
Okay. All right. Fine. Thank you so much. I'll join back with you again.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Soumitra Joshi, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Soumitra here. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah.
So firstly, thank you for basically organizing this con call. It's really helpful for us investors to understand our organization better. So I have basically two questions here. So I'll begin with my first question, which is a little backdated to the last quarter. So we had done away with the hardware business of our company. So what I wanted to understand was that I understand it is a low margin business, plus maybe the synergies weren't there and hence we wanted to do away with it. What I want to understand is what was the quantum of that business and what is the impact of that business in terms of our margins going forward? Because it was a low margin business, obviously it would have been hurting our margins. So would it have a significant impact on the margins going forward? That's the first question. If you could just answer the first question, then I'll move on to my second.
Thank you, Soumitra, for your question. To answer your question, what we have done is typically, while we have said that we have stopped completely doing hardware business, but organically in the organization, we had slowly already stopped doing business from the last 3-4 years. So typically, from a future perspective, we do not see the margins being impacted anywhere. Those margins, at the time that we were at our peak, we were doing 50% product and 50% services. That was like about 8-10 years back. But after that, we slowly decided that the margins are low. We typically play no role in doing any kind of box pushing. OEM decides the price. It is fixed with the customer. We just play an intermediary role in transferring those assets from the OEM to the client. So there was no additions or no add-ons that we were doing. It was typically used, that business was done to enter and get into a new customer account. However, when we realized that this is not giving the kind of margin that we are intending to go for, and it is not sitting with our growth targets, we decided to completely come out of that business. So, to answer to your question again, last 3-4 years, we have almost stopped doing this kind of business, and we, going forward, do not intend to do any product business. And from a margin perspective, I see there won't be any much dip or any changes in the future as well.
So I was not asking from a dip perspective. I was asking more from the perspective of since we've completely done away with the low margin business, do we see a positive impact of that coming in subsequently on the margins of the company going forward? So would it bump up the margins rather than bumping it down?
So last 3-4 years, typically, Soumitra, we haven't done this business. So I think I've already answered.
Yeah. So it's more or less, it's basically what we are at right now. we are going to use our the other aspect of the business, that is the software aspect of the business, and try and move our margins forward. Is that understanding correct? So 14% what we are at right. So what 14% what we are at now is probably a base case going forward, but this is something that over a period of time will only improve. Is that understanding correct?
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And the biggest lever for that is our software editors that we feel, which will be a game changer for us, because whenever we sell our software as a product to customers, we see a lot of good bottom line and good margins on that. So that could be the biggest lever for us to improve our margins going forward as well.
Sure.
Yes, and just to add, you know, every customer is looking at combination of, they are not looking at pure services, but there is always some change and transformation that happens in every organization. And that is where our Aditas, which is a low-code, no-code platform, brings a big impact to the organization to automate processes and kind of give them that value addition and also give them the, you know, more of a cost-effective overall solution, both services plus technology combined. And that's the route we have taken, and now we are accelerating in that.
Sure. So my second question is more in line because, see, again, this is a company that wasn't really in the limelight for long, but it has recently come on people's radars, especially for us also, since we've been evaluating this company. So certain things that come into our mind is like, if you have to do a clear comparison of this company, so obviously looking at the major IT companies would not be the right thing to do. So what, from my understanding, it may be wrong and you can correct me, I look at it probably something like, if you have to talk it from a product perspective, something like a NewGen software. And if you have to look at it from the holistic perspective, something like an Orion Pro, is that understanding correct? That probably these are the companies with which we should compare ourselves rather than looking at the major IT companies as a core. Or is that understanding incorrect?
So NewGen, I think they are in document management. Like, so it's not the right comparison for peers. But let me tell you, when we named the company, we were not in the radar. It was a deliberate attempt almost for 5 years where we said we are doing transformation. And we had been constantly communicating to all our investors, small pain but long gain. In that process of transformation, several things that we have done. The most important thing is we have made our company completely debt-free. We have improved our corporate governance greatly. Number three, we have reskilled our people. And that's a big challenge right now. Most of the IT, Indian IT, so to say, successful companies are facing today. Because tomorrow's requirement is going to be completely different than today's requirement or yesterday's requirement. And that is requiring whole amount of complete reskilling, repurposing and retraining, which is what we have done. And hence, currently we are very relevant to the customer's need at the moment. And hence, when we talk about cloud migration, cyber security, they're all high-end fruits actually. So our aim is to get into the higher-end fruits so that margins should not be a problem and competition is also not too many. So we have come out of low-hanging fruits or product business just because of that, where you just keep on, I don't know what is Orion Pro is doing, but we feel that we are the market leader when it comes to master system integrators. We are the pioneers in smart city. Almost more than dozen smart cities that we already established. So we have earned a good name in smart city, which is not everybody's cup of tea because there are a lot of system integrator, but no, you know, master system integrator in this country. So we know we have positioned our company very well for the future earning.
Sure. So we are also taking some feedback from the smart city aspect only, and I must tell you that there is positive feedback on your work, so that's good. That's something really good, and congratulations for that. So finally, if I have to just conclude, so what I am looking at is, at our company, let's say ADSL, is looking at a growth of, let's say, 20-25% or at a conservative level year on year from here, and the 14% margins that we are looking at is probably a base case going forward, and this is something that is only going to improve. So is that understanding about the company and its growth prospects correct?
100%, 100%. You've taken it very well. If you really force me to ask, I would get very pleased if we can get a day when we make it 20%. That's a constant endeavor to keep on increasing one lever that is going to be EBITDA. So when it comes to me as a chairman, I am more concerned about EBITDA margin.
Sure. Thank you so much. So we can basically, as an investor, expect 20-25% growth from a revenue perspective and margins on an upward trajectory from here, because the transformation has taken place and now it's time for bearing fruits for the company of all the effort that you put in for the last 5 years.
Correct. So apart from what Mr. Nitin Shah talked about, the smart city part of it, MSI part of it, I would also like to talk about service business. Okay, the reason is we are a global managed services provider. We operate in more than 70 plus countries. And we have two types of contracts. One is we take direct contracts. The other one is definitely with our partners. And these are very large partners. And we work on very, very large deals. So if you look at our comparison, we have kind of, you know, our competitors, the high-end competitors, which I'm sure you know all the times, like Wipro's or HCL's, that kind of, we have taken up contracts also of theirs. And that is a usual case because our sweet spot is definitely big customers, and that is how we have differentiated ourselves. But we played on a strategy that we work with very large contracts also as a partnership, so that we want to make sure that we deliver high quality services for very large customers. So that's the kind of differentiator we bring. So it's not necessary to compare with the kind of a
store. I would further like to state, I could not prevent myself. When I run a company, we have made such a strong, robust company. Firstly, that we are sellable anywhere in the world because we are talking about higher hanging fruits. We generally target very large customers and as maybe a tier two, but managing very large customers is a different ball game altogether. And when we talk about services is mainly, it's a high compliance intensive and governance driven. Okay. So service governance is very important, and we can very proudly say that we support our client the way any other large company support across the globe. And we have put a lot of effort in terms of doing a service governance, which is very, very highly matured. So today we are talking about supporting large customers. We are not too much into small SME segment. And we see that, you know, often you will see a large customer adding up to them. And of course, the scalability will be much faster. I would not like to comment as to how much percentage and all that, but I can tell you that that's how we have made our company for long term.
Sure. Thank you so much. Those inputs were really helpful. See, I'll come from where I think a lot of investors are coming in because I've been hearing all the questions. What happens is when the first time, generally, I think it's the first time for most of the people interacting with the management, the first step itself for any analyst becomes that they need to understand what is the growth aspects and prospects of the company and ultimately materialize it into some number, so that you can have some target going forward. So that was the basic purpose of understanding and asking about the EBITDA and the revenue margins. And I think most of the people who are on the call, the analysts would agree with me that that is from where the base starts. That is why I think the constant pestering or questioning from our side on the revenue and EBITDA margins, which I think you've answered really well.
Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Deepak Poddar, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, thank you very much, sir, for the opportunity. So first up, I just wanted to understand more on the margins front. I mean, would it be fair to say that in last couple of quarters, we have seen pressure in margins? So one of the major reason is that that couple of projects in US that could not be renewed?
Yeah, so let me just answer that. Because as you know, there is a US, a lot of inflation was there, and there was definitely some pressure there for customers to reduce costs. Mm-hmm. And many times customer takes a kind of a decision where they want to see where they can reduce the cost. So they mainly do, take up the opportunity to do insourcing. The projects that got closed were mainly a couple of them which were more insourced by the customer, not that they have been given to somebody else. Because customers sometimes think that I want to kind of make sure if I can do myself and reduce the cost.
Okay. So they sacrifice on the high quality services that we give, and they make some decisions based on their budget constraints. It has nothing to do with our quality of service.
Okay, no. I get that point, but what I was trying to understand is that the major reason because of which our margin saw pressure in last couple of quarters.
Yes, that is correct. That was the major reason for us to have short margins. I mean, margins that were not up to the mark of every quarter. But going forward, I think that will keep on improving as we keep on adding new customers.
No, on top of that, I'll add up on top of that. There was a reason for this quarter, June quarter, revenue mix was also tweaked, basically. Revenue mix, our solutions percentage was a little high than the services. That also because, as we explained, mm-hmm. solutions has got little lower margin, so that has also impacted our margin little bit on account of that. So going forward, our revenue mix is going to be improved, or if it changes to other way around, the margin is going to be increased. Obviously.
Understood. And then, as mentioned earlier as well, that 14% is the EBITDA margin base that we expect, right, going forward. So also, I mean, how many quarters do you expect you will take to bridge that gap between your current margin of maybe what 10.5%? To where you want to be in terms of pace?
It's very difficult to predict right now. Endeavor is constantly there to reach up to that. And I may go wrong if I tell you any particular month or the quarter. But yes, we try to optimize that. We do a lot of automation mm-hmm. in our service delivery. And that will reduce the people dependency. As you know that nowadays, new technology which is coming up using AI, and you talk about, what is that, ChatGPT and all that. So we are using those kind of things in our service delivery, where we'll make a lot of our processes automated. That will reduce the people cost, and that will enhance our margins. So there are plenty of avenues that we are looking at it in terms of improving the margin once we get the client.
I understood that, but it would be fair to say at least on a quarter-on-quarter basis, we'll see a upward trajectory, right, on the margins front.
Should be.
The intent is that. The intent is the same. We are constantly working on improving our EBITDA. That is the intent, I would want to say.
Understood.
But when it comes to competition, the competition decides the price, and we can't let the business go. So probably it must be on the first year itself, little bit dip will be there on services and solution business, because customers generally give to the company which is quoting lower. Mm-hmm. That we have seen as a trend. But then we know next 5 years how we can optimize our margins.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's pretty clear, sir. And I think that's it from my side. All the very best. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Piyush Mehta from Caprize Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Hi, everyone. I appreciate the opportunity to ask the question, and thanks for hosting the conference call. I think I had a similar question to what a couple of other people have previously asked. This one was specifically for Nehal, but more or less they've been answered. But just still try to visualize. What I would like to ask Nehal is, sitting where we are, considering the kind of revamp that we've done and the base that we've built, is it fair to say that you can now visualize sitting on 1,000 crore top line with 16-18% kind of margins over the next 2-3 years? And do we have the capability, the resources, and the intent, to achieve the same? So I would like to specifically, speak to Neil on this. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for this question. You are absolutely correct. We are sitting on a target where we see that 1,000 crore is absolutely achievable in the next 2-3 years. The reason for that is the kind of orders or the kind of wins that we have had in the past, which were huge $100 million single orders, and all of it gives a lot of strength to us. And we also see that the customers and even our partners are absolutely bang on backing us to go and achieve those kind of numbers. So you're right, 1,000 crores is absolutely achievable in the next 2-3 years, and that is our first target that we would want to go in the 4-digit top line.
I would like to further add on to that. I don't know whether you had been tracking our company 2-3 years back or 5 years back.
I, as the chairman, constantly saying that we are going through transformation phase. That was an internal transformation. I've been constantly saying small pain but long gain. And we did that transformation companies late on 2020. So we are in the long-term gain kind of phase. And this was a deliberate attempt that see that, you know, we would like to go in for a long-term positioning ourselves better for better earning. So we have made the capacity in our company, processes, system, everything, we have made it very, very, very robust to scale up our business.
Understood. Understood. And I think one of the comments was that, you know, there is a certain margin that we, you know, while we are growing cautiously and we would not work below a certain percentage in terms of, you know, the margins. What is that specific margin that, you know, is comfortable for us? Because, of course, as you said, you know, competition is there. We would not like to go below the competition. So what is that particular margin at which we believe, you know, this is something that we will definitely hit?
So low single digit margins, of course, we are not interested because we do a lot of large projects actually. And we have appetite, we have strength in our company. We rather move to somebody else, you know, some other customers. Actually, low margin, we are not interested at all. Many customers probably we would have lost or we would have said no last year.
Alright.
The intrinsic strength that we have created, the intrinsic value that we have created is unmatched. It's a matter of time that you will realize our potential will be realized by everybody very soon.
Understood. Understood. That is very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Karthik from HCL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so thanks for the opportunity and also thanks for hosting the call. So I have been investing or invested from a long time from 2012 and I've seen the challenges and also your continuous commentary on the changes which we were doing. So thanks for all the hard work and right now where we are currently. And my question was on the each business segment, can we expect those breakdown in the upcoming presentation so that we know where you will be investing more? I already know that we will be focusing on the infrastructure management and software service, but there were more emphasis nowadays on the cybersecurity side. Are there any interest or focus more on those to capture more projects there, or we will be focusing where we are core at? So.
Oh, okay. Let me tell you, I'll give that answer. It's a very well-thought, robust company that we have created. Cybersecurity is definitely very important for us, and we have put invested a lot in terms of building up our cybersecurity capabilities and our SOC, which is almost 100-plus seater in SIPS Andheri. And we have been running SOC for last almost 15 years, and we have concept known as a 360-degree cybersecurity. So you name it, and we have elevated ourselves into the most relevant cyber security measures. So we can take up that separately in terms of giving full presentation as to what we do under cyber security. And cloud, of course, is everybody's riding on that. But in cloud, we are more in terms of doing development using cloud native and CI/CD or Kubernetes that you talk about. And that's where we would like to earn money, not in terms of just about providing infrastructure. Smart city is also definitely very high-hanging fruits, where we are very uniquely positioned in this country. If you start counting number of master system integrators, you'll hardly find any in this country besides us. Then you talk about since you are in HCL, I can tell you, NOC and SOC, NOC support that we provide infrastructure management. And I'm sure you will agree the kind of maturity that we have brought in our terms of our service delivery. Using service governance is unmatched. In fact, one of the best governance that we have created to serve very, very large customers. And we are creating our own IP on Editas front, which is going to be very robust. It is one of the 53 pink certification that we have received. Now we are not only talking about IT service management, we are completely talking about entire services management of operation services that the large enterprise customer is talking about. And again, it is completely cloud ready, so we can change whatever that we want at any time. So that is where another investment we have done. Very, I don't know whether people know about it, and that's where there is a depression on our margin, is that we have registered our company into various countries in the globe. Like, for example, we are full-fledged subsidiary in USA. We can directly bill to Canada and have people on our payroll. In UK, we have got our own registered. We have registered in Ireland, which enables us to deploy people anywhere in Europe, any European countries that you think about. We have people in Germany and Netherlands and all. Then we are registered in China. We are registered in Singapore. We are registered in Australia. We are registered in Japan. Full-fledged subsidiary, and we are registered in Brazil. So these are the investment that we have done for the future learning. So you may find that, you know, company of our size, we have so much of spread, direct spread across the globe. And our model is to get into direct to our clients. So you might find this investment which we have done right now probably might give us much better results over a period of time.
Yeah. So can we expect the breakdown either in the investor presentation on these each business segment by revenue? Like, so currently I feel most of the like chunk is from software service and integrated solution. Is that a fair expectation? Like, from whatever currently in 169 crore revenue, those are the two segments which is currently growing. Is that true?
So Karthik, what we have done is from segment perspective, we are only talking about services and solution. And to keep it simple and people can relate to it, whatever is recurring in nature, which is annuity business, which is month-on-month billing or quarter-on-quarter billing for 3 to 5 years long-term is bucketed in the services segment. Anything that we do one-time, it could be one-time implementation of large smart city projects, or it could be store expansion projects or data center projects or migration project that we do, will all go under the solutions bucket. For people to simply have a clarity of that, we have just kept right now two segments, services and solutions. And we feel that our idea is that the services bucket should always keep on growing, because that gives us steady growth and steady numbers for, year on year. However, the solutions bucket is something which gives us the extra X factor edge that we require to grow. So whenever we get large projects, the solution bucket typically grows faster. But eventually, services is the bucket that we would want to look from a long-term stability.
Yeah. And even from the margin perspective, is it a fair assumption, or at least the services will have a more margin than the solutions, which is around 12 or 13%. Is that the right one?
Absolutely, that is correct. Services will eventually always have better margins because we have a long time to optimize our costs also. Solutions is typically a smaller cycle of deployment where cost optimization is not as much possible as much in the services business.
Okay. And from ROW, so our main like revenue coming from US, I feel, is that true? Or is it also a big chunk from Europe or EMEA region?
So right now, 70% of our revenues are coming from US, the US subsidiary. The other subsidiaries are now slowly gearing up space where we have invested over the last couple of years. We will see the fruits coming in the near future.
Okay, thanks. And on the discontinued operation, you answered that question, but I'm worrying, like, is there a more discontinued operation we will have which will impact the balance sheet, or we are done with everything, whatever we can discontinue on the lower margin?
Thank you for this question. Thank you for this question, Karthik. We have absolutely done away with everything that we had on our books. We don't see anything of such kind coming up in future ever. That is the idea.
Okay, that's great news, because yeah, that's hurting. Like last year, my target was just cut out because of those discontinued. So yeah, that will make us more clear. And the last question on the ROC. So what is our target for upcoming year and future for 3 years. So is it, I know it is in a like a more than a 13% margin, so ROC, so is that will continue to improve?
So if you do not look into quantitative factor, which is difficult to then guess how much it would be, but certainly the strategy is to make the company more and more strong over a period of, stronger over a period of time, which will help us in terms of acquiring new customers at the same time, you know, increasing our margins. So that's being said as at overall that I'm talking about. But to, if you ask your question exactly 13, 14, 15, I may not be able to, and I'm not looking into that kind of factor while running the company, but I'm always looking upon how are we positioned ourselves for the future earnings.
Yeah.
So just to add to it, Karthik, as we keep on increasing our top line, we will keep on increasing our bottom line also, and our ROC will also be in the upward trend. Since there is no capex that is involved in our business, it is all eventually going to be helping in improving our ROC.
Yeah, thanks for that, and please do continue with the con call so that it, we can interact, like talk and discuss all the concerns. Yeah, thanks. Have a great future. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Narendra from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for the follow-up. I just wanted to know what your EBITDA's platform is exactly. I mean, how do you onboard clients and what's the next step? You know, what's the journey of the client after that?
Yeah, so let me highlight that. We have 100 plus customers today on Avitar. Okay, and this is a, it started its journey as an ITSM platform. Now it is an enterprise service management platform, including conversational AI and a lot of new technologies that you see. And so it is a completely AI ops based platform. The way it basically is positioned is it's completely DevOps based and cloud ready. So it is very easy for a customer to adopt and scale unparalleled. So you can scale unlimited. We have also multi-tenancy, multilingual, lot of features on Aditas which helps Aditas to be easily deployed across customer bases globally. And this is how it has been deployed. So the models that we sell is either it's taken it as a subscription model on the cloud, or sometimes very large customers take it as an on-premise. And the third one is obviously it gets bundled with services. So this is how Aditas is deployed, and it's a completely cloud-ready platform. It doesn't take more than a week or two to deploy it in a standard configuration. So it's a completely automated, completely administered platform. It's a low-code, no-code platform. I hope it answers your question.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Nikhil Oswal from Finterest Capital. Please go ahead.
No, sir. So just one last question from my side about the clientele that we have currently. If we can just, you know, give some idea on the clientele, and is there any kind of customer concentration?
So I would put this not by naming client or vertical, because we are having a client on almost all verticals. But the new trend which has come up in terms of, you know, an IT industry for services business is something known as the SIAM, Service Integration and Management. So what is generally happening that, you know, there are 100, 200, 300 kind of vendors who support one client. Now client finding is very difficult to manage so many vendors or service providers. So they would like to consolidate to one or two or three max. And hence they create a kind of innovation. So, and that's the trend. We have baked two large deals, one in India as well as another one in USA, where very large deal of $100 million that we have baked through tier one partner of ours. And that has helped a lot because we have removed some about 200 service providers and they have signed up only with us. Same is the case with very large enterprise customers in India. Conglomerate, all the vendors have been replaced by us for supporting them. And we foresee a lot of such opportunities coming up, where we are fully geared up as a one single stop for for all the needs of infrastructure for our client. And that's the trend which is going to help us a lot.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you for your participation and engagement during this call. If you have any additional questions or require further information about our company, please reach out to our team or contact CDR India. Please do take time to review our investor presentation and latest annual report to know more about Ally Digital. We appreciate your time and look forward to our next interaction in the coming quarter. Once again, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.